Okay, good morning everybody. It's nice to see you all here. Good morning. It's lovely to be here with you this morning and welcome you to our service. So I was looking through quickly just a little welcome and I saw in Romans chapter 15 verse 7 it says, "Therefore, welcome one another as Christ welcomed you for the glory of God." So I thought we could do that now. By welcoming each other and saying good morning to each other. You probably have as you came in anyway, but it'd be nice to say, so good morning, Chloe.
Good
morning to all those on Zoom as well. Yes, let's open now with prayer.
Just before you start, morning.
Oh, good morning. Let's pray. Dear Father, please be with us all today as we join together. Help us to open our hearts to the word of God as it's brought to us through worship and praise. We ask this in your name now. Amen. Now I'm going to pass over to Renee. She's going to do family news. Also, I think, and Fred also wanted to say something as well, but I'll let Renee pass the new mic over. Do you want to use this mic?
Yeah,
right, hello everybody. First of all, don't forget the church meeting this afternoon at 2 o'clock here. Otherwise, I think the week is as normal now. We've got Girls Brigade, haven't we?
Yep, we have.
And the team chat, and the Bible study on Wednesday, and then the Thursday afternoon one.
Yep.
Yep, right, so that's all as normal. Now, what was it, the Bible... birthday scheme.
Yeah, do you want to, Fred wanted to say something, so just...
Just to tell you all that I have received a letter from BMS about the birthday scheme. The copies of the newsletter are up on the table. If anybody wants to either look at them or take one away, they're welcome. If you don't know anything about the birthday scheme, it is... The church contributes on each person who is a member of the church on their birthday towards medical missionaries throughout the needy world. If you're interested in any of that, please see me. But it's just that once every year when it's your birthday, instead of treating yourself, just treat a little bit towards the needy folk in desperate countries. That's all. Please look at the newsletter. You're welcome.
Right, what else have I? I've got to say
something.
London City Mission, you probably know that I'm the church rep and I receive all lots of letters and things. On the 24th of November, they're holding a kind of missionary thing on Zoom, and where people will give testimony of what's been happening in London, how people have been saved and what is actually happening in all the different centres. Now, to actually get the access for that, I need people to tell me so I can get it for them. Okay, and if you'd like to join them, it's Wednesday the 24th November at 10 to 12:30. We normally go out with them on that day, but because of COVID, it's all being done on Zoom. So if you'd like, please let me know. That is in the morning, yes, not at night. Okay.
Thanks.
There's lots of other papers and that. They'll be over on the piano. So I'll put them over there on the table. So.
Later on the service, we're going to have a time of prayer, so particular prayers can be requested then. But does anybody got any news? Good news would be nice.
Yes, we've got some nice windows in the...
We have, yes. Yay. If you've not seen them yet, do go and have a look. They're beautiful. Yeah. Mine.
And you'll notice I've got my right hand high in the air.
He's waving his right hand about, up there.
No, praise God.
Well done.
Right, anything else? Right, it's over to you.
That's lovely. I just want to mention one other thing. The Girls Brigade have been invited to take part in the march next Sunday, for Remembrance Sunday. So I'll be taking a group of Girls Brigade down. They don't know yet, I'll send them a note out on Monday, and whoever can meet me on the Sunday will come along, and we're going to march up to St Martin's Square. They're going to have a short service outside because they're not actually going to be going into St Martin's Church as in previous years. But just if you can think of us next Sunday, that's where it will be. Now I'm going to pass over to Mum. She's going to do the open reading. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices, together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will bear his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Thank you. And that comes from Isaiah 57, verses 7 to 10. Okay, that's thank you. Now we're going to sing my favourite hymn, which is How Great Thou Art. I think it was my wedding hymn as well. Yeah, it's a lovely hymn, isn't it?
Stars.
we're going to have the children's talk, which is going to be on YouTube. Don't start the craft just yet for the children that are here. We're going to do the children's talk. Then we've got a couple of children's choruses, which are, if you don't know the actions, you can come up and join in. So if we can have the children's talk, please.
Hello and welcome to Virtual Sunday School. Don't forget to give this video a like and subscribe to our channel if you haven't already.
Hey, so that's we're going to join together now with some children's choruses. Now we're going to sing My God is So Big, So Strong and So Mighty. So if you know that and would like to come up and do the actions, please come up. And Chloe, would you like to? And if you want to, you can stand at a microphone. If you want to do that as well, let me turn them on. Would you like to stand at a microphone? Yeah? Is that one on, that one? Yep, lovely, thank you. And I'm going to put my microphone down.
Thank you.
so much. That wasn't that lovely to see the children up there doing those actions. That was really good. Well done, both of you. That's lovely. And I know it's also everyone else doing the actions in here as well. Thank you. It's lovely to see you all. Now, if the children want to go to the back and do the craft, there's some paper up there to draw the flag of your country, if you'd like to. And then there's also a puzzle sheet and some colouring to do as well. And now we're going to... What are we going to do now? Oh, it's a sermon now, so I'm going to introduce the YouTube clip of Graham Ross. That's it, yeah, Graham Ross. Okay, I'll pop on.
Bible reading today is from John chapter 21. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We will go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realise it was Jesus. And he called out to them, "Friends, have you caught any fish?" "No," they answered. And he said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." And as soon as Peter heard him say, "It's the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not too far from shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the nets were not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have some breakfast." But none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and he gave it to them. And he did the same thing with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he was raised from the dead. I meet some people sometimes who say, "I wish I was one of Jesus' first disciples." And I must admit, I've got mixed feelings about it. I really wish I was. It must have been absolutely amazing. But it must have been absolutely confusing and perhaps terrifying at times too, as they try to keep up and wonder what he was going to do next. Do we want to follow Jesus? Yes, I hear you shout as you watch. Do we want to follow Jesus wherever he leads? Yes is the right answer. But is your brain saying, well, does it depend where he's leading? Do you remember playing Follow the Leader? What a wonderful game, as long as the person who's leading is doing something interesting or not too strenuous. Following can be unpredictable. Who are we following? Where are they leading? What are you like at following? Well, most of us aren't very good at following, are we? We like our independence. We don't like to be told what to do. There are advantages to following, thinking of birds flying in a V formation and the bird or birds at the front are taking the brunt of the air pressure and those that are tucked in behind are having an easier flight. Well, that's a good spot to follow, isn't it? Are we like that? Is that a picture of church, rotating in and out, caring for one another, different people taking the lead? Sometimes following involves us being enthusiastic. Take a look at this picture. As we see this lady leading these birds along, and as they're following her, you almost imagine that she's got food in her pocket, or that she's like the Pied Piper or something. But the fullness of the picture shows, of course, there's this dog behind them, just coercing them and helping them to come along. And I wonder again if that's a picture of Jesus' first disciples, where much of the time they were so excited following Jesus. But there was the one occasion where Jesus says to them, "Well, are you leaving me too?" And Peter says, "Well, where else can we go?" It was hardly a, "Jesus, we can't wait to follow you." It was a, "Jesus, we find what you've just said really quite hard. But where else can we go? Because you have the words of eternal life. We'll follow you even when it's hard. Because we recognise you are leading us the right way." One of the things we don't talk about very much, which is sad because it's very evident in Scripture, is this. Following Jesus can be difficult. Sometimes churches give the impression that you follow Jesus and it'll be like living your life in peace for the rest of your life. No harm will ever befall you, you'll never get sick, you'll always have plenty, life will be wonderful. It'll be like sitting on a beach drinking cocktails. And I don't know where that comes from. It doesn't feel like a very particularly a biblical image to me. Because when I read the New Testament and when I read Acts and I say the church was persecuted, and even when they weren't being persecuted, they were doing difficult things, the way they were reaching out, the way they were going and talking to people. And is this picture the most appropriate picture of what it means to follow Jesus? This picture of skydiving, of jumping out of a plane. I'm terrified of heights. You wouldn't get me doing this. So that's a problem for me, isn't it? If I'm in a plane with Jesus and I think we're flying to the beach to lounge around, and halfway through the flight he puts his parachute on and says, come on, follow me. And I watch him jump out. What do I do? Because my heart says follow Jesus, that's the right answer. That's the best thing for me. But my head and my feelings in that moment are saying, no, I'm terrified of heights. The disciples, coming back to the Bible passage, were fishing. They'd had a hard day's night and they were fishing and they caught nothing. It must have been so discouraging. They were tired, they were exhausted, they were frustrated. And I don't know if you've ever felt like that before, like one of these two images. They were doing what had worked before. They probably never caught nothing before, but on this occasion there was nothing there. Is this a reminder of where we are as church today? We're largely models of church in terms of Sunday morning have remained the same for a number of years. That's how we make disciples. That's how we do church. And I think we've come to a place now where a number of us are recognising that it's just not working in the same way that it once did. It may be to do with services aren't the best way to connect with people in terms of discipleship. People who aren't don't know Jesus, I mean. It may be to do with us the timing and Sunday morning, and Sunday morning's a really busy time for people. I just heard of a church the other day who shifted their morning service to 4 p.m. in the afternoon to allow families with children to come more easily. I think that's a really good thing. As we're saying, rather than saying you should come to our church, and that might work for those families and those kids who are coerced to come, it won't do their faith any good, but it might get them in the building. But it's not going to help those who aren't Christians yet, is it? Are we doing what has worked before and are frustrated it's not working in the way it did perhaps 30 or 40 years ago in terms of seeing new people continually coming to faith? A few years ago when Ken Benjamin was the president of the Baptist Union, he was encouraging us to consider where do we grow from here? Where do we change? Well, how do we do something different for the reasons I've just been outlining? And one of the things I find astonishing is in that year there was a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of people saying, yes, that's the right answer. We need to experiment. We need to do something different. But then COVID hit a few years later. I don't think that was Ken Benjamin's fault. I don't think it was God's fault either. But I think that in it, God was at work. And a lot of churches who were saying this change might be a good idea were all of a sudden forced to work in radically different ways that they never would have done or would have taken a long time to come to if it hadn't have been for the pandemic. The pandemic has been awful, evil and very stressful for all of us, but God has been at work in it. Like the person leading the birds in the earlier picture, enthusiastic, but then sometimes we just need that little nudge, don't we? I was thinking of a church recently who, instead of calling a new part-time minister, called a families worker. Rather than calling someone to care for their small congregation, they've called someone to expand and make disciples through their very large, messy church. That makes absolute sense to me. How do we make disciples? And do we need to stop and ask ourselves that question? Do we need to realise that making disciples is our primary calling? That's what we're called to do. But if you observe most churches, we'd say our primary calling is to run services. That's what most of the energy goes into. Now, there's nothing wrong with services. I'm not having a go. Some of you are watching this in the service. That's fine. I'm glad you're here. But the question is, how do we make disciples? And where does our services, do our services fit into that? What else do we need to do? How do we throw our nets on the other side? What about the lady who became a Christian? And she came along she didn't come along to the church. She couldn't come on a Sunday. She couldn't come midweek. She became a Christian through a friend. And incidentally, and we're back to disciple making, aren't we? The best way to lead people to faith is not to try and get them into a religious building. It's to encourage one another to learn what it is to be honest about our faith and to be able to talk about how Jesus is real to us in the everyday. Anyway, she became a Christian, but she couldn't come to church because of her personal circumstances. So is this the point when we as a church say to her, wherever sorry, that's just the way we operate. You don't fit into our box, and so we can't disciple you. Well, that would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? But effectively, that's what we're doing to the many people who we've never talked to, who might be interested in coming to faith. We're excluding them by the boxes that we put discipleship into. Anyway, what we came up to in the end, the friend who had led her to faith and myself and this other lady who came to faith, we met weekly in the midweek. We varied the time sometimes to make it suitable. And we just read a little bit of Mark's Gospel each week and just said, who is this Jesus and what is he like? And we always started with a new Christian. What did you think about this Bible passage? And it's probably the most effective way I've ever begun to nurture a new Christian as we introduce them to who Jesus is. It's time for us to stop, if we haven't done already, and to listen to Jesus and say, what is it that you've got for your church? Because the disciples, if they'd have shouted to Jesus on the shore, don't you know we've been fishing all night, we're so tired, we're so fed up, we're not doing it, we're not putting our nets on the other side, we've just gathered them in, leave us alone, they'd have gone home miserable. Will we listen to Jesus and follow no matter what he says? A few years ago, my wife and I were walking, and as we walked down the path, this was the picture. This was what we came to ahead, a flooded path. Now, I'm a bit funny walking in water. I'm not good at the seaside, but that's a story for another time. You might want to invite a psychologist. And I didn't like the idea of walking through this water, so I got my map out and I was starting to plan for the way through. As I found the way through, I turned around to say to my wife, this is the way through. And as I got there, she's a lot more adventurous than I am. She had her trousers rolled up to her knees, her boots were around her neck, and she was nearly through. She was nearly on the other side. What could I do but follow? And as you can see from this picture, there's me. And you can tell by the way I'm walking away quite gingerly, I really wasn't enjoying it. Further round on that walk, quite coincidentally, or probably God incidentally, Tracy said, was talking to me about something she'd been reading in a book. And it was this, the phrase, don't ask God to direct your steps unless you're willing to move your feet. And I thought about me walking through the water. Walking on the water would have been a better idea, wouldn't it? But anyway, there's a thought for another time. Walking through the water, I didn't enjoy it for a minute, but I got to the other side. I had to be willing to move my feet, even though it was in a way that didn't suit me. And I think the reality is a lot of us are like Bilbo Baggins. Do you remember Bilbo Baggins, the Hobbit, being led on an unexpected journey, being asked to do something really difficult, but yet off he goes. And if you've watched the movies or read the book, you can see he does so very reluctantly, but he goes. Or like this person walking a tightrope. My goodness, that looks terrifying. But if you look on their leg, on their ankle, there's a safety rope. They're tethered. They're safe. They look like they're doing something that they could die from. And I guess they could. They could lose their lives doing this. But realistically, if they fall, the rope has got them. As we feel and believe that God is calling us to step into new things, and if you don't, I wonder if you're listening properly. Even in the past 20 or 30 years, you're doing things exactly the same as you were then. You know, it's just read the Bible. God is continually saying, do something new, or what about this, or being led here, or being led there. God often doesn't do things the same way twice in people's lives. I find that astonishing. And this person taking a risk, but being held securely. And I think this is a picture for us as we step out, as we do new things, as we take risks for Jesus. But we do so knowing he's got us. And ultimately, we do so from a place of... sorry, I thought my Bible was here and it wasn't. We do so from a place of scripture. And it's a bit like someone looking at a map when they're lost. What we need to do continually is to be coming back to scripture. One of the things that is clear to me is that to make disciples, there has to be a relational element. It doesn't work someone coming to a meeting and us talking at them. It has to be interactive. Why do I think that? Well, it's what the Bible teaches me. If we look at Jesus and how he interacted with people, how he made disciples, are we willing to come back to Scripture and let it challenge the way we make disciples? Jesus is God. God became human. In John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word, that's Jesus, became flesh, became human, and made his home among us. The indestructible God entered into a fragile human body that can be damaged, that can feel pain, physical pain. The God who is everywhere limits himself to a geographical location in a human body. The God who knows everything limits himself to what can be contained in a human brain. The God who's all powerful becomes human. The God who created and runs the universe, the God who flung stars into space, submits to human parents. Why? Why would he give up so much? Because he loves us. And there's more, isn't there? Because the Bible says God demonstrates his love. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. As Jesus dies on the cross, he took the sin of the world on himself, the sin that separates us from the most holy God. Jesus died. Jesus came because he loves us. He died to save us. And he rose from the dead to prove it was true. And now we can come to God. Now, before Jesus came, Jesus, God, Holy Spirit could have been in heaven having a little chat, looking at humanity. There would have been tears, there would have been emotion. Isn't it desperately sad that humanity is separated from us?
And one of them might have said, well, it's their own fault. You know, we've sent the prophets, we've given them scripture, we've told them how to be holy, we've told them how to be Christ. It's their own problem. I wash my hands of them, I've done enough. But of course, that's not in God's nature, is it? Instead, God demonstrates what it is to throw the nets on the other side, to do something radically different, to achieve a different result. God becomes human. You couldn't make it up, could you? Good, my goodness. And he gives everything that we might be saved. Jesus shows what it means to throw your nets on the other side, that we might be saved. The question I have for you now as we finish is this. Are we willing to do something for you by throwing our nets on the other side, that more people might hear about Jesus? Because we want people to be saved.
God, help us to become the people who you're calling us to be. Help us to listen to you, to look to you, to hear your words and put them into practice. And when we're afraid, help us to take a chance, to take a risk. But as we do so, may we rely on you and your power and your leading as we move forwards. Amen.
Okay, now we're going to continue with the service over the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
Stand for this if I were you, because it's going to go a bit quick.
Turning back. Sorry, now I'm going to introduce Linda, who's going to do the prayers. Could we have the prayer box up, please? Thank you. Thank you. I'd just like to say it's pleased to see Margaret and Brian back with us. Are you feeling well now? Really well?
Good.
Keith, can you tell me how Helen and the girls are, please? Dear Heavenly Father, you know these people. You know them, you love them, you know them better than they know themselves. And dear Father, I just pray through the power of your Holy Spirit that you'll meet all their needs, whether it be healing, emotional, spiritual, or just love and comfort, Lord. You know them, and I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'll meet all their needs through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. I have brought something that I would like to pray for. I've been doing this every day for I can't remember how long now, but it's the persecuted church all around the world. I think they are suffering so, so badly. Eritrea is becoming the North Korea of Africa. They are really undergoing terrible persecution. Just like North Korea, tortures, beatings, it's beyond belief. And not only there, and there's so many other countries all around the world. I mean, we've got India, China, Afghanistan, Iran, Pakistan. There's just so, so many. And I just feel that we need to keep these people in our hearts. And if we can spare some time just to pray for them every day, they don't ask to be released. They ask for prayer to make them to be so they can stand where they are. And I just don't know how they do it without Jesus. So I would like to pray this prayer. Dear Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters who face harassment, discrimination, violence, and persecution in their daily lives, who may have lost homes, possessions, and livelihoods just because they follow you. We pray that they will stand firm in the assurance of their living hope and of their heavenly inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. May they be sustained by the comfort of your Holy Spirit and your resurrection power. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I believe we have the final hymn to come now. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda, for that. So the final hymn is How Lovely on the Mountains, which goes with the reading we had this morning. This is another one of my favourite hymns. Would you like to stand? Sorry.
Thank you.
service today. Be with us now as we go to our homes, and be with us during the week. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.